Chapter 22. Sergeant Gregorius and his two troopers are waiting in the open Sallyport airlock of the Raphael as the Archangel-class starship closes on the unidentified spacecraft that is just translated from C+. Their spacesuit armor is cumbersome and, with their reactionless rifles and energy weapons slung, the three men fill the airlock. Parvati's sun gleams on their gold visors as they lean out into space. "I've got it locked," comes Father Captain DeSoya's voice in their earphones. "Distance, 100 meters and closing." The needle-shaped craft with fins on the stern fills their vision as the two ships close. Between the spacecraft, defensive containment fields blur and flash, dissipating high-energy CPB and lance attacks faster than the eye can follow. Gregorius's visor opaques, clears, and then opaques as the close-in battle flares. "All right, inside their minimum lance range," says DeSoya from his perch on the combat control center couch. "Go!" Gregorius gives a hand signal, and his men kick off at the precise instant he does. Needle thrusters in their suits' reaction packs spurt tiny blue flames as they correct their arc. "Disrupting fields now!" cries DeSoya. The clashing containment fields cancel each other for only a few seconds, but it is enough. Gregorius, Key, and Reddick are in the other ship's defensive egg now.
"Key,"
says Gregorius over the tight beam, and the smaller figure tweaks thrusters and hurtles toward the bow of the decelerating ship.
"Reddick."
The other suit of combat armor accelerates toward the lower third of the ship. Gregorius himself waits until the final second to kill his forward velocity, does a complete forward roll at the last instant, applies full thruster, and feels his heavy soles touch hull plate with hardly a tap. He activates the mag ties in his boots, feels the connection, widens his stance, and then crouches on the hull with only one boot in contact.
"On,"
comes Corporal Key's voice on tight beam.
"On,"
says Reddick a second later. Sergeant Gregorius pulls the line of boarding collar from around his waist, sets it against the hull, activates the stick tight, and continues kneeling in it. He is within a black hoop a little more than a meter and a half in diameter.
"On the count from three,"
he says into his mic.
"Three, two, one, deploy."
He touches his wrist controller and blinks as a micro-thin canopy of molecular polymer spins up from the hoop, closes over his head, and continues to bulge above him. Within 10 seconds, he is within a 20-meter transparent bag, like a combat-armored shape crouching within a giant condom.
"Ready,"
says Key. Reddick echoes the word.
"Set,"
says Gregorius, slapping a charge against the hull and setting his gauntleted finger back against his wrist plate.
"From five."
The ship is rotating under them now, firing thrusters and its main engines almost at random, but the Raphael has it locked in a containment field death grip, and the men on its hull are not thrown free.
"Five, four, three, two, one, now."
The detonation is soundless, of course, but is also without flash or recoil. A 120-centimeter circle of hull flies inward. Gregorius can see only the gossamer hint of Key's polymer bag around the curve of the hull, sees the sunlight strike it as it inflates. Gregorius's bag also inflates like a giant balloon as atmosphere rushes out of the hull breach and fills the space around him. He hears a hurricane screech through his external pickups for 5 seconds, then silence as the space around him, now filled with oxygen and nitrogen according to his helmet sensors, fills with dust and detritus blown out during the brief pressure differential.
"Going in now,"
cries Gregorius, unslinging his reactionless plasma rifle as he kicks his way into the interior. There is no gravity. That is a surprise to the sergeant. He is ready to hit the decks rolling, but he adapts within seconds and twists in a circle, peering around. Some sort of common area. Gregorius sees seat cushions, some sort of ancient vid screen, bookshelves with real books. A man floats up the central drop shaft.
Halt!
Cries Gregorius, using common radio bands in his helmet loudspeaker. The figure, little more than a silhouette, does not halt. The man has something in his hand. Gregorius fires from the hip. The plasma slug bores a hole 10 centimeters wide through the man. Blood and viscera explode outward from the tumbling figure, some of the globules spattering on Gregorius's visor and armored chest plate. The object falls from the dead man's hand, and Gregorius glances at it as he kicks by to the stairwell. It is a book.
Shit, mutters the sergeant.
He has killed an unarmed man. He will lose points for this.
In, top level, no one here, radios Key. Coming down.
Engine room, says Reddick. One man here. Tried to run and I had to burn him. No sign of the child. Coming up. She must be on the middle level or the airlock level, snaps the sergeant into his mic. Proceed with care.
The lights go out, and Gregorius's helmet searchlight and the penlight on his plasma rifle come on automatically, beams quite visible through air filled with dust, blood spheres, and tumbling artifacts. He stops at the top of the stairwell. Someone or something is drifting up toward him. He shifts his helmet, but the light on the plasma rifle illuminates the shape first. It is not the girl. Gregorius gets a confused impression of great size, razor wire, spikes, too many arms, and blazing red eyes. He must decide in a second or less. If he fires plasma bolts down the open drop shaft, he might hit the child. If he does nothing, he dies. Razor talons reach for him even as he hesitates. Gregorius has lashed the death wand to his plasma rifle before making the ship-to-ship jump. Now he kicks aside, finds an angle, and triggers the wand. The razor wire shape floats past him, forearms limp, the red eyes fading. Gregorius thinks,
the goddamn thing isn't invulnerable to death wands. It has synapses.
He catches a glimpse of someone above him. Swings the rifle, identifies Key, and the two men kick down the drop shaft head first.
Embarrassing if someone turns the internal field back on now and gravity comes on, thinks Gregorius. Make a note of that.
I've got her, calls Reddick. She was hiding in one of the fugue cubbies.
Gregorius and Key float down past the common level and kick out into the fugue level. A massive figure in combat armor is holding the child. Gregorius notes the brown blonde hair, the dark eyes, and the small fists flailing uselessly against Reddick's chest armor.
That's her,
he says. He keys the tight beam to the ship.
Cleared the ship. We have the girl. Only 2 defenders and the creature this time.
Affirmative, comes to Soya's voice. 2 minutes, 15 seconds. Impressive. Come on out.
Gregorius nods, takes a final glance at the captive child, no longer struggling, and keys his suit controls. He blinks and sees the other 2 lying next to him, their suits connected umbilically to VR Tactical. DeSoya has actually turned off the internal fields in the Raphael, better to maintain the illusion. Gregorius removes his helmet, sees the other 2 sweaty faces as they do the same, and begins to help Key remove his clumsy armor. The 3 meet DeSoya in the wardroom cubby. They could meet as easily in the stim-sim of tactical space, but they prefer physical reality for their debriefings.
It was smooth, says DeSoya, as they take their places around the small table.
Too smooth, says the sergeant. I don't believe that death wands are going to kill the Shrike thing. And I screwed up with the guy on the navigation deck. He just had a book.
DeSoya nods. You did the right thing, though. Better to take him out than to take chances.
2 unarmed men? Says Corporal Key. I doubt it. This is about as unrealistic as the 12 armed guys on the 3rd run-through. We should play more of the ouster encounters. Marine-level lethality, at least.
I don't know,
mutters Reddick. They look at him and wait.
We keep getting the girl without any harm coming to her, says the man at last.
That fifth sim, begins Key.
Yeah, yeah, says Reddick. I know we accidentally killed her then, but the whole ship was wired to blow in that one. I doubt if that will happen. Whoever heard of a 100 million mark spacecraft having a self-destruct button? That's stupid.
The other three look at one another and shrug. It is a silly idea, says Father Captain DeSoya, but I programmed the tacticals for wide parameters of...
Yeah,
interrupts Lancer Reddick, his thin face as sharp and menacing as a knife blade.
I just mean that if it does come to a firefight, the chances of the girl getting burned are a lot greater than our sims suggest. That's all.
This is the most the other three have heard Reddick say in weeks of living and rehearsing on the small ship.
You're right, says DeSoya. For our next sim, I'll raise the danger level for the child.
Gregorius shakes his head.
Captain, sir, I suggest we knock off the sims and go back to the physical rehearsals. I mean...
He glances at his wrist chronometer. The memory of the bulky combat suit slows his movements.
I mean, we've just got 8 hours until this is for real.
Yeah, says Corporal Key. I agree. I'd rather be outside doing it for real, even if we can't sim the other ship that way.
Reddick grunts his assent.
I agree, says DeSoya. But first we eat. Double rations. It's just been tactical, but you three have each lost 20 pounds the last week.
Sergeant Gregorius leans over the table.
Could we see the plot, sir?
DeSoya keys the monitor. Raphael's long ellipsoid trajectory and the escape ship's translation point are almost intersecting. The intersect point blinks red.
One more real space run-through, says DeSoya. And then I want all of us to sleep at least 2 hours, go over our equipment, and take it easy.
He looks at his own chronometer, even though the monitor is displaying ship and intercept time.
Barring accidents or the unexpected, he says, the girl should be in our custody in 7 hours and 40 minutes, and we'll be getting ready to translate to Pacham.
Sir?
Says Sergeant Gregorius.
Yes, Sergeant?
Meaning no disrespect, sir, says the other man. But there's no way in the good Lord's fucking universe that anyone can bar accidents or the unexpected.